Now I'd like to introduce today's speakers. Steve Wesolowski is GM Racing Road Racing Group Manager. He is responsible for engineering and administration for all of GM's motorsports programs in the American Le Mans Series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, Coney Challenge, and SCCA. Then we'll hear from Corvette Racing Program Manager Doug Feehan. Doug has directed championship-winning programs for GM in a variety of road racing series, and he has managed Corvette Racing since its inception in 1997. With that, I'd like to ask Steve Wesolowski to begin the conference.
Thank you, Rick, and thanks everyone for joining us today. I'm excited to announce some news regarding Corvette Racing in the future and hopefully finally put some rumors and speculation to rest. At this time, we are announcing our plans for 2009 and 2010. And what we're going to be doing in 2009, we will start the season with our current GT1 cars and race Sebring, Long Beach, and then go to the pinnacle of our program, Le Mans, to try for our sixth victory in 10 chances at Le Mans with the GT1 cars. Coming back for the second half of the season, we will be racing select races with an all-new GT2 spec Corvette race car. We will hopefully see the level of competition that the current GT2 class has, and we want to join in that fray with other marques that we compete in the marketplace with, such as Porsche, Ferrari, BMW. Going into 2010, we will then, our intent is to go forward with our full factory effort for the GT2 championship in the new GT class, that the rules will be converging on a single class for 2010. With that, we've been staying abreast with the FIA and the ACO and have confidence that this new class will be just as exciting while also remaining relevant to the marketplace and relevant to our streetcar. We intend to continue Corvette's history, taking our current team and the technology we've developed and applying it to an all-new car per the rules for 2010. We look forward to competing, and that's what the main reason for moving in this direction is. We want to go where the competition is. We see this class has a lot of potential growth and is going to be very exciting for years to come. Also, as part of the requirement of the rules, we will be eventually developing customer cars, and we have a lot of interest, as you can imagine, in people around the globe wanting to buy a Corvette to go head-to-head, as I said, with Ferrari, Porsche, Aston Martin, BMW, and others. So with that, I'll turn it over to Doug Feehan to get into some of the details of what we're going to be building and competing with next year.
Thanks, Steve. I think it's pretty clear to everyone who's followed the series that although we've been very, very successful the last couple of years in our marketing programs, eventually we were going to need to get to some competition. And I think that globally that was recognized by both the ACO and the FIA, and that I think was the precursor to the new GT rules and regulations and using 2010 as the fulcrum for kicking everything off. We're pretty excited about this, obviously, because we do want somebody to race against. And the current GT configurations that exist out there with Ferrari and Porsche and clearly BMW coming and the rumors of Audi, it looks like the place where we need to be. It's relevant to our product. You know, it's the C6R will continue its legacy that it began in GT1. That's our goal. That's our objective. It's going to be a difficult road when you look at some of the racetracks on which we race already. The GT2 cars are within a couple ticks of what the GT1 cars are. So we're going to this eyes wide open. We know the level of performance that exists out there. We're certainly embracing that challenge. We're looking forward to it. In addition to that, we're going to continue our commitment in racing with the E85 ethanol, the cellulosic ethanol. That will continue through our new GT effort. Initially, we're going to start the 2009 season with the new GT2 car with a 6-liter version of what we're running right now, the LS7 small block. And then for 2010, obviously the rules change in 2010, we'll be developing a 5.5-liter version of the latest GM small block V8. so that that will be in compliance with FIA. And as Steve said, obviously we'll have cars available to customers. So it's exciting. It's a new chapter in Corvette racing. We welcome the competition. We're looking forward to what the future holds for us. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks, and I think now we're going to probably open it up to questions.
And our first question comes from Peter DiLorenzo with AutoExtremist.com.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Peter.
I was just wondering, this will be an all-new car constructed by Pratt & Miller, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. And I guess you can't get into specifics, but there will be some notable differences. Are there any differences that you can mention that won't reveal your competitive position?
I think first and foremost, the new car will be utilizing an aluminum chassis, and we'll be integrating some rather advanced technologies in that chassis, in that we're going to be integrating a steel roll cage into the aluminum chassis. And by integration, I don't mean glued or bolted as exists in the current aluminum chassis that are employed there. We actually have a welding technology that we've worked on with suppliers that will be utilizing some friction welding techniques. We'll have some details on that as we announce the car. It's pretty exciting stuff. We're excited to be the first to employ it, and I think it'll be the implementation of technology in the race car preceding production car stuff. It's all part of our story and an exciting legacy that the Corvette's planning on leaving.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I think the key, too, is that the new GT rules are very much based on today's GT2 cars, so there will be a lot more production content, a lot more requirements to stick closer to what the cars are on the road. And any substitutions have to come from another large volume GM product. So we'll be sticking a lot closer to production, and you'll see a lot more of that content.
And I assume that the 2010 rules are going to be another dramatic step, or will it not be that dramatic?
It shouldn't be that dramatic. Those rules are being worked on right now. We've seen some rough drafts of them. They'll be very, very similar to what we'll actually be building for 2009. There won't be a big differentiation there.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And next we have Eric Thomas with Raceline Radio Network.
Yes, for Doug, can you tell us on behalf of the Canadian fans that are going to be listening to this on Raceline Radio, what role Ron Fellows is going to be playing in the future with Corvette Racing as you get into this new technology and the new rules, Doug?
Well, I'll tell you, we have a tremendous fan base there in Canada, and obviously Ron plays a key role in that, and that's witnessed by the fact of his successive runs at most popular driver of the series.
Yep.
In all fairness to everybody here, we don't talk anything about drivers or their involvement until the final race of the year is concluded. So Ron has been obviously a key figure since the very inception, and continues to play a very, very important role this year, and we'll have to leave it at that.
Fair enough. Thanks, guys. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Ann Proffitt with Race Engine Technology.
Hi, guys. I'm aware that you've been working with KTEC and CRD on the GT2 project up until now. Will they continue to do engine development for you, and who's on top on that?
And we have not determined where we will be building the engines right now. We're working very much within the GM powertrain internals, and we've got a lot of great expertise and technology, and as it will be a much more largely production-based engine, we're going to start with the development there, and we'll be spending 2009 developing the proper package for 2010. An engine source has not been determined at this time.
And thank you very much.
And I think it's also important to add that throughout the life of the program, that KTEC and Powertrain have worked together in various aspects to get this done. Essentially, Powertrain being responsible for a lot of the design work and KTEC being responsible for a lot of the assembly. So it's been kind of a co-joined effort all along. As we go forward with a new program and more customers, how all that's delineated is still to be determined.
you will use their assistance, will you not?
Yet to be determined.
Working with.
That's yet to be determined.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Marshall Pruitt with Speed.
Hi, guys. Was curious about homologation of the new car, specifically related to the fact that there's the car that GT2 Corvette that Riley built that ran a portion of this season. There's also actually a Dutch Corvette, which was run in the LMS series last year as well. So with a few different versions of Corvette running in GT2, how is that going to be or not going to be consolidated, at least for next year? And what's the process for, I guess, making yours either the best or the only official GT2 available?
Marshall, as it exists right now in the IZFIA, there isn't a Corvette homologated. Ours will be the first and the only homologated car.
Interesting. And one quick follow-up question. Any further movement or development on seeing GT1 engine available for the use in prototypes? I know that's a little bit off-topic and future-minded, but another thing that we hear a lot about.
As we have said all along, we continue to evaluate every road racing motorsports opportunity that exists. To date, no decision has been made either way on that. The only thing we can confirm is that people have come to us, inquiring as to whether or not we have an interest in that, and that's something that we're still evaluating.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Dagas with Motorsport.com.
Hi, guys. What was one of the main determining factors for you just running the Long Beach, Sebring, Long Beach, and Le Mans? Why did you guys pick Long Beach out of the rest of the ALMS schedule, which is yet to be announced, but I'm sure there's other candidates?
Yeah, that was largely a marketing decision, looking at what's important, and a very important market for Corvette being the Southern California region. Also, it's a big event for our prime sponsor, CompuWare. So it's been historically, the last couple of years, a big event from that aspect. Obviously, you're trying to space things out a little bit and give ourselves a little more time to prep for Le Mans factored into it, but the main reason was from the marketing aspect.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, and we also have a question from Greg Creamer with Speed Channel.
Hey, guys, this is great news, and just wanted to once say congratulations. It's nice to know that Bet's going to be continuing, but I do have a couple of quick questions. One, Stefan Rattel has been talking about this World GT Championship. Is this car going to be in the lead class for that, or are there going to be other classes, and is that something that would be of interest to Corvette Racing?
Greg, the way the rules appear to be going to be finalized, and these are FIA rules we're talking about now, not necessarily ACO or ALMS rules, the GT2 car, and we'll call it GT2 for the time being, will serve as the base car. To get to a GT1, which would be developed off of GT2, right now they're talking about a change in the bodywork, a larger wing, and some different power. That may be a slight oversimplification, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. GT2, it's like a build-up from the GT2 car. So a guy who had a GT2 car could in fact buy a kit from the manufacturer and make it a GT1 car. And I think Stefan's objective is to have GT1 cars run for that World Championship program. I can tell you that in meetings that has met with some. Manufacturers are certainly considering it, but the focus seems to be on GT2 right now, and that's where our focus is going to stay for the time being.
And how similar are the 2010 GT2 rules and car configurations to what we're seeing right now in 2008 in the American Le Mans Series, just for that reference point?
They're very, very close. There will be some slight modifications. Again, the ACO is interested in slowing down all the classes at Le Mans, so there'll be some further limitations on things like ride height and aerodynamic devices on the cars, but largely they will be the same chassis, and then there's going to be some restrictions on engine displacement.
that will be eligible for each of the different GT classes. And that's, again, one of the differentiators to differentiate power by specifying engine displacement to be allowed to run in the GT1 versus GT2.
All right, and one real quick final question. Is the general consensus that you're getting, at least in terms of maybe just sensing things out with ACO and thus possibly ALMS, that eventually there will be but one GT class?
I don't know that that's necessarily anybody's given direction. I think that our speculation is that by default that will probably occur.
Okay.
I mean, right now, essentially, we're the, you know, ourselves and then the one Aston Martin are the only cars running. You know, this seems to be just kind of the natural order of things. Not something I think anybody's planning on doing or forcing to have happen. I think it's just been an evolution.
All right, thanks.
So if there's nobody there, there won't be any GT1.
Exactly.
Yeah.